Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be coming to you live from WGCU-FM's Performance Studio, as we're joined by members of the Southwest Florida bluegrass band Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders. The band has been performing at venues throughout Southwest Florida since 2010, and today they treat us to a selection of some of their favorite American roots music. The group is regularly featured in the Bluegrass in the Theater concert series at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers in conjunction with the Acoustic Music Society of Southwest Florida. We're joined now by guitarist Captain Joe Nichols. And yes, he's an actual captain and professional fishing guide. He's a Florida native who's lived in Naples since 1954. Captain Joe began a bluegrass jam class back in 2008 and 2 years later formed the Bottom Feeders, initially to play for friends and at parties. Captain Joe, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Oh, we're so happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
We're also joined by fellow bandmates Pat and Sharon Morrison, who hail from Louisville, Kentucky, originally, though they've been in Southwest Florida since the 1960s. Pat taught for more than 30 years as Naples High School's first fine arts teacher. He plays bass in the band. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Sharon is also a retired art teacher. She's lead vocalist and mandolin player with the Bottom Feeders. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
And Larry Wicker is with us as well. He hails from Eastern Kentucky, but has been in Southwest Florida for more than three decades. He's a vocalist and banjo player with the Bottom Feeders. Welcome, Larry.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
And fiddle player Angela Girdley is with us as well. She just joined the band this past summer. She's a college instructor and, like many of her bandmates, is also a Kentucky native. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
And I invite listeners to join our conversation as well. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Captain Joe Nichols, let's just start with you. Do you consider yourself a lifelong musician? When did you first pick up the guitar?
Absolutely not. I was a late bloomer, got started late, And it's kind of on a dare by my wife, but it's been a great journey. Met so many great friends, and we've all become so close. And you mentioned our bluegrass class; that was a real pivotal moment for the. I'd like to think for the whole area, it got a lot of people together, and a lot of bands have sprung out of that, and we're real proud of that.
So, do you think that brought together a lot of bluegrass musicians in the area who maybe just hadn't met each other yet otherwise?
Absolutely. We kind of build it to people that were just picking on their couches and not really getting out and meeting people, and it gave them all a place to come, and it was just a big hit for us, yeah.
And did you naturally intend to gravitate towards bluegrass music when you first picked up the guitar?
Actually, I did, yes. My wife and I were at a little festival, and we walked around, and there were some people around a tree picking, and I kind of said to my wife, I said, boy, I'd like to do that. And she kind of snottily said, well, why don't you? So I did. Here it is.
And so basically the Bottom Feeders initially formed out of that group. They were one of the many groups you mentioned who came out of those classes.
That's right. We were, except for Angela, we were all in the class and we kind of gravitated together. And next thing you knew, we were a band and playing in front of people and having a great time.
And the name the Bottom Feeders, it seems like there's kind of a natural connection there between, you know, your work as a professional fishing guide. Is that where we can
attribute
that?
We have to give credit to Aaron, Pat and Sharon's daughter. She came up with that kind of tongue-in-cheek, and we said, you know, that's very appropriate. Let's go with that.
Absolutely. It works. Well, let's not deprive our audiences any further. Let's go ahead and hear a song and maybe tell us what you're playing first and maybe say a few words by way of introduction.
We're going to do a song called Walking Shoes, and we like to do this. I kind of sent it out to my son, who just walked the Continental Divide Trail, so he went through a few pairs of walking shoes, and it goes something like this.
My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. Stay on this side of town, honey, I won't be around. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore.
Well, it's a long way from here to over yonder. My feet are getting mighty sore. Well, I quit you cause you made your mind to wander. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore.
My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. stay on your side of town, honey, I won't be around. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore, shine. Long time gone from you, baby. You'll never hear me knocking on your door. I thought you were the one, but I was crazy. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore. Stay on this side of town, honey, I won't be around. My walking shoes don't fit me anymore.
Walking Shoes by the Southwest Florida Bluegrass Band, Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders, who joined us live in studio today. Listeners can connect with the band as well. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And I notice your band plays, I guess, what I would describe as session style, where you're primarily kind of crowded around one microphone here. Is that how you perform live when you perform out?
Whenever we can get a chance to, this is why we like to do it. It's sort of old style, and it puts us close together, working and moving in and out around the mic. It was the way they used to do it in the real old days when they only had one microphone. There are some venues where we can't do that because of feedback and stuff, and so we
sure
have to use individual mics. But this is our preference.
Yeah, it seems like at first it looked like to me like a disadvantage, but then the way you all get together, I mean, you can get the harmonies tight. You're all right next to each other, and as you said,
that's
certainly
fun.
Yeah, certainly part of the roots of the music as well. And Pat and Sharon, you're both retired teachers. Was music part of what you taught formally?
Oh, absolutely not. In the 80s, Pat's brother had a band, and I just sang harmony and sort of pretended, chunked a little bit for rhythm.
Uh-huh.
And then I took off 20 years, and I was just stayed at home. I was one of those people that was a closet musician and would not even dare get out with an instrument. And when I retired, I thought, boy, you know, that would be fun to do now that I've got time. And I went to Joe's class because I felt like it was a safe haven.
Sure.
A place to where beginners might be that was – and he said, you know, take a lead. And I go, I don't know how. And he did do it anyway and then sing a song. And he is really the most encouraging person. He did that class for, oh, my goodness, I guess 7, 8 years, something like that. And about the second or third year, he said, would you and Pat like to be in a band? And I thought, well, you know, that sounds like a lot of fun. So,
yeah.
And that's where we are.
Now, we were actually visual arts teachers. We didn't teach music. I had been into music since the ninth grade.
I know bass is hardly the first instrument you picked up.
No, I played trumpet back then and ended up in dance bands, and then I switched over to piano and played that.
Pat's a wonderful jazz pianist.
Well, no. but then I got into bass, and I really like the bass. It's much more fun, except it's heavy. That's the only problem.
And bass was what you got into with the aforementioned band with your brother, Beargrass Bluegrass?
Beargrass Bluegrass, that's right. In fact, what I was playing first was a washtub bass.
Oh,
that's how I started, and then all of a sudden we started getting jobs, and it was embarrassing. I'm sitting there barefooted playing my washtub, and she bought me a bass, and this not this one, but it's so that's what we've been doing ever since, you know.
All right. Well, we're going to hear from some other band members here in just a few minutes, but let's go ahead and hear another tune. Tell us what we're going to hear.
This one is, I'm going to sing this, oddly enough. This is Salty Dog Blues, and it's an old bluegrass song, and it was made fairly famous by Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs when they did the Carnegie Hall's concert back in God knows when. But it's a great bluegrass song. It gets people going. So that's what we're going to do.
Ready, Joe?
Yes, let's do it.
Standing on the corner with the lowdown blues, a great big hole in the bottom of my shoes. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Let me be your salty dog. I don't want to be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Well, looky here, Sal, I know you. Run down stocking and a worn-out shoe. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Let me be your salty dog. I don't want to be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Down in the wild woods, sitting on a log, finger on a trigger and eye on a hog. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Let me be your salty dog. I don't want to be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Said go, the shot fell over in Mexico. Honey, let me be your salty dog. Let me be your salty dog. I don't want to be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog.
Wonderful. That was Salty Dog Blues, performed live in our studios here at WGCU by Southwest Florida's own bluegrass band, Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders. Again, listeners can connect with the band as well. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And Larry Wicker, it's your turn now. I'm going to pick on you a little bit. You play banjo in the band. Is that the first musical instrument that you picked up?
Yes, it is. And it's the only one, really, that I play fairly well.
All right. Excellent. Is this something that you've played professionally, or has this always been something on the side for you?
When I was small in eastern Kentucky, once in a while they'd have Flatt and Scruggs on Saturday night on TV, and I just was fascinated by the banjo. And I went to college at Eastern Kentucky University and saw a little of it here and there. Then I started building homes, and I built one. And there was this house next door, and these people were playing music. And I went over there. It was a family band, and they were doing these wonderful songs. And I thought, got to do it.
Yeah.
Got to do it. That's what I thought.
Excellent.
And it came up from there.
And this probably, maybe this goes for a lot of members of the band, but I mean, do you think coming from Kentucky, I mean, is bluegrass music just sort of a ubiquitous part of growing up?
Yes, quite a bit of homegrown music played, yes.
And I understand you joined the band, Angela. She's our fiddle player here. Just this past summer, how did you end up with this motley crew?
Well, let's see. I think they needed a stand-in fiddle player last spring, so they called and asked if I would sit in with them. And they said, oh, by the way, it's going to be for 4 hours. So I had to learn some stuff pretty quickly. And then I guess they were looking for a full-time fiddle player, so they called me this summer, and here I am.
Excellent. And I understand you started, taking lessons, and I'm going to say violin here, and we can get into that a little bit later, but when you were about 10 years old, right?
That's right, yeah. My grandmother actually played, and I heard her play several times and fell in love with it, and she actually was the first one to give me lessons.
Excellent. Yeah, and I played with some bluegrass fiddle players before who would almost take offense if you described them as a violinist. But you've been in both circles. Were you classically trained and then sort of picked this style up as well?
I have, yeah, both. When I was a teenager, I actually was taking violin lessons and fiddle lessons at the same time. And my fiddle teacher, his name was Lillard, which is a perfect name for a fiddle player, I think. He kind of took me under his wing, took me around to some fiddle contests, and I got some exposure that way and played with his band some. It was a country band rather than bluegrass, but we play the fiddle tunes. And at the same time, I was still taking the classical violin lessons too, so I kind of kept a foot in both areas there.
That's really interesting. Can you maybe say a little more about the contrast between that? I mean, because, you know, when you're playing classical, it's, you know, you got the notes on the page. It's a much more formal affair, whereas what you're doing with this group, I don't want to say there's more room for creativity, but there's more room for improvisation and, you know, kind of finding where you fit.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's sort of, you hit on the main term there is improvisation. It takes a lot. And that's something that at least I wasn't taught in my classical training. Pretty much they just tell you to stick with what's written,
right?
That the composers know what they want. And it's a whole different thing, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of creativity, and you're kind of making things on the fly, and it really does bring out another side of you musically.
And like the Morrisons, you're an educator as well.
Oh yes, I am. I'm sort of a semi-retired college teacher. Most of my classes are online now.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song then. I want to try to squeeze in as much music as we can.
I'd just like to say the main difference between a fiddle and a violin is the fiddle's had a beer spilled in it.
Yes.
This one's called Hold What You Got. And here we go.
Hold what you got. I'm coming on, baby. Hold what you got. And I don't mean maybe. I'm thinking about you. Oh, now on my way. Don't sell the house. Don't wreck the car. Stay there, honey, right where you are. Yeah, hold what you got. I'm coming home to stay. Well, in my mind, maybe I can see it's a mighty good sign. That's what I need. So that's why I'm on my way back home. Oh, squeeze yourself real good and tight. I'll be home before daylight. If you hold what you got, I'm coming home to stay. Well, hold what you got, I'm coming home, baby. Hold what you got, and I don't mean maybe. I'm thinking about you, and I'm on my way. Don't sell the house, don't wreck the car. Stay there, honey, right where you are. If you hold what you got, I'm coming home to stay. Thank you.
far. If you hold what you got, I'm a coming home to stay.
Was Hold What You Got, performed for us live here at WGCU-FM's Performance Studio by Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders, who we're so thrilled to have join us here. Tell us about where folks can hear you around Southwest Florida. I know you've got a show coming up at the Neapolitan Opry next month.
Clusterpluck, that's a part of Pat's brother does a lot of stuff for nationally and locally known groups called Fishhook Tour, and part of that Fishhook Tour, what's going to kick it off this year, is called Clusterpluck. It's sort of like Naples' Grand Ole Opry. It's called Neapolitan Opry, Clusterpluck. It has a lot of different groups in it, everything from jazz to blues to all different kinds of things, but that's our first venue this year. And then you want to talk about Sharky's?
Yeah, we've got another new venue that's really working out good for us, Sharky's in Bonita. Huh. And we'll be there on the 27th. And Lori, wonderful lady, cooks great food, and it's a nice, comfortable place for us. And then this season we'll be back at Food and Thought down in Old Naples. And our good friend J-Mo Johnson there, who runs the place, and they set up. We have a beautiful courtyard setting there under a big oak tree, and we play like 4 hours in the afternoon. They have barbecue. That's one of our favorite venues.
Yeah, fantastic
and
venue.
We also usually play a couple times down at the Alliance of the Art. I'd like to really thank them for all they do in the area for bluegrass music. I know the president, Doug Gurdon, saw us at an open mic one time and gave us, when we were just, it just started out, and we've sort of played there ever since, once or twice. And the Alliance of the Art is a place for both local and regionally known bands to come and be heard. And it's different from the restaurant venue because it's a quiet listening room. So we can use this kind of a mic, which we love to do. And they also have nationally known groups. So because of people who make donations and stuff, we're able to have some nationally known groups. This January, they're going to have a band called Trinity River, which is a really top-notch band. So
excellent.
That's another good place to hear good bluegrass music.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we are about out of time for today's show, but we've been speaking with Captain Joe McNichols on guitar and vocals, Pat Morrison on bass and vocals, Sharon Morrison on mandolin and vocals, Larry Wicker on banjo and vocals, and Angela Girdley on the fiddle. And they are, of course, Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders. Great to speak with you all and hear you perform today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Our show was produced by Jessica Mazaros, Mike Canary, and yours truly. Our director is Richard Cinqui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And take us away.
Well, the engineers don't wave from the trains anymore. Not like they did back in 1954. They've got computers and diesels and things. And the engineers don't wave from the trains anymore. The engineers don't wave from the trains. Thank you. anymore. They've got computers and diesels and things, and the engineers don't wait from the trains anymore. The engineers don't wait from the train. Chug and spew. They were my heroes, and they knew what I knew. No matter how far they'd snake down the track, they'd go somewhere, they'd turn around, come back. Ah, the engineers don't wait from the trains anymore. Not like they did back in 1954. They've got computers and diesels and things. Engineers don't wait from the trains anymore. The engineers don't wait from the trains. Things have changed in this world. Engineers forgot about us little boys and girls. They'll get a faraway look in my eye when I hear an old train and an eye. Ah, the engineers don't wait from the trains anymore. Not like they did back in 1954. They've got computers and diesels and things. From the train.